Welcome to the catch up. A really big show today. I am rooted. I don't know about you, Marto.
That will do me.
Yeah, you said it, brother.
I thought the 5:30 to 6 part of the show was outstanding.
Do not think that now we have recorded bits of you that you can come in any later.
I know, but I'll be like Osha. I'll just sit at home and just play little
you
things.
You are a puppet, mate.
That's good.
That is good. There you are. A bit on today. Jeff Horn. What about the Jeff Horn of the Hornet? The fight against Maki Pacquiao is actually on in Brisbane now, and he's going to come on and tell us how they actually got it across the line after that fiasco with the tweets coming out of Dubai or Abu Dhabi or wherever it was.
Yes. Correct.
Oh, no. Can Marto take on Marto? That'd be kind of funny.
That'd be good fun.
That's a ticket.
I don't need to talk.
Yes, you do. Yatla pies. We found out about the cyclone-inspired pie that's now available.
That was really nice. And then you did talk a little bit about the shake-up of the Super Rugby competition. One of the Australian teams is going to go.
Well, thank goodness. They've got to fix it up. And Gordy Tallis taught us about the Fox Sports Lab.
Oh, yeah.
Turn it up.
Yes. Okay, turn it up is right. Enjoy the catch-up.
Good morning.
Come on, mate. You know what time of the day it is. Can you listen to this anytime?
See, on Friday, I thought that was going to be funny, and it was.
It is funny.
Incorrectamundo. Nope.
Is that the first time you've ever heard anyone say incorrectamundo?
Yeah, because it's not a word.
It is now.
Thanks to the Brisbane Lions, Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Jeff Horn, local boy, champion boxer. Is this fight versus Manny Pacquiao, is it a definite to be happening in Brisbane, mate?
Yes, it is 100% definite.
Great work. Congratulations. Well,
hang on, you just hit at this stage.
Oh, at this stage.
Oh.
Well, there's always a chance, I guess, of injuries, but I'm hoping that doesn't happen with him and it doesn't happen with myself.
So July 2nd, is that the one?
Yes.
How are you going mentally? Well, I guess, and physically, on, off, on, off. Have you been training through all of this? Because I know you were travelling around up to the Cowboys and everything else. Are you ready?
Yeah, I've still been training. I've still got plenty of time to get ready as well. I'm at about a 6-round pace where I'm training, but I'm not training super hard, but I'll pick it up slowly as the time goes on.
Does it make a big difference to be able to fight in your hometown?
I reckon it makes a massive difference, especially a big fight like this for a world title. He's done a lot of it before in the past. He's gone to America and all over the world. But for me, this is my first time and I get a crack at it in my hometown, which is great.
The tickets are going to be going on sale fairly shortly. And I know that the promoters have made sure that there's a number of tickets where they've capped the price because we want to fill this place. We want to have proper fight fans
many
as we possibly can, which is great, Jeff. But what happened? So there was this stuff that came out on Instagram where Pacquiao was saying, or some guy pretending to be his manager was saying, they wanted to fight someone somewhere else in the Middle East. How did it swing back to you?
Yeah, his advisor, Michael Kontz, I think it is, he found this deal in the UAE, which has come up a fair few times in the past, the UAE deals, and none of them have eventuated, but this one was the same as last time and fell over just like the others, and put back on the board.
It was BS the whole time. It was basically there to try and pump up to try and get more money out of us, or what was that for? What was it? Why'd they do that?
Well, I think there's a lot of money in the UAE, but it's just them actually it's a lot different someone saying it rather than actually putting the money on the table.
Mate, they've got English soccer clubs to buy. They can't be worrying about that. They can't be worrying about boxing.
Hey, Horny, tell me, Suncorp Stadium, like most our listeners, we've all been there. Where's the ring going to go? Like, does it sit right on halfway and we build artificial, or do we go down one end and we've already got three sides of the stand? What happens?
Yep, it'll be smack bang right in the middle. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to set it up, but
like
I've been told the ring's right in the middle of the.
So Jeff, let's just say when you win this, what happens after that?
I will probably fight, hopefully, in Australia and defend my world title, or I guess I'll just try and unify the other world titles that are out there.
Now, Jeff Horn, I heard his manager say that they want to just come to Queensland, quickly beat you, and then move on to someone more important.
Oh, really?
Did that fire you up, mate? Did that make you think, all right, I'm on the world stage, I'm going to show Manny Pacquiao exactly what I'm made of?
Yeah, exactly. It makes me laugh a little bit that they're coming here to take it easy on me. But if they're going to do that, they're going to make a very big mistake, and if he underprepares for this, because I'm going to prepare it the best I can, and I'm going to fight for our country, that's for sure.
Where do you train, Jeff? Is it down Logan somewhere?
I train at Stretton Boxing Club and at Dundee's at West End.
Oh, Dundee's. Are people allowed to come in and have a look at your training occasionally?
Yes, people do come in and have a little watch occasionally.
Ooh, we should talk. We'll talk to you off air. We might try and work out if there's a day where we could get a couple of listeners to come down and watch
and get
Jeff
punched.
Horn go around. Well, yeah, just go around.
Don't hurt him, okay? You know, we can't hurt him. At
Jeff
all.
Horn, we are so excited for this fight, mate. We loved having you in the studio. We look forward to you. You got to come in again, mate. Make sure you come in the studio again before the fight. Bring the Lord Mayor Graham Quirk. It's going to be great. Yeah. We'll get fully decked out. We'll all have giant hats. We'll have fur coats and gold chains. It's going to be amazing. Proper boxing people. Jeff Horn, fighting Manny Pacquiao in Brisbane. We'll speak to you soon. Good on you, buddy.
Thanks, Marto, Ed and Robin.
Is it too early to talk vacuums? What sort of vacuum you got, do you know?
Oh, I've got a Dyson.
Everyone has a Dyson. Ed? Mm-hmm.
Dyson.
Mm. I know, they're so good. Mm. They suck everything up. Although then you can see how gross the stuff you've got off your floor, which is not overly.
I find that quite reassuring.
Have you ever thought about getting one of those automatic ones?
Oh, I've thought about it a lot.
Don't.
Okay.
Oh, I bought one for Kath 2 Christmases ago. It stayed in the corner there until the last month or 2 months ago. I started trying to use it again. Because, you know, with the instructions around the Christmas period, you get a present. And too hard to work out how to use that thing.
Oh.
So she said, nah. And then it got consigned to downstairs, my area. And I started using it. It was all right. Until I read that thing. Have you seen this thing on Facebook where this bloke's posted this thing and he calls it a, well, what happens? They had their thing to go on in the middle of the night at 1:30 until 4, their Roomba,
oh, right.
They call it.
Okay.
Okay, so their version's called a Roomba. It offsets, goes around the house while they're asleep, wake up, clean floor. Wonderful. This bloke tells the story. They didn't walk their puppy that night. They didn't take it outside.
Oh, I know what's going to this.
Yeah,
okay,
it's going to poop.
On.
And this, and I've never seen anything like it. Oh, there is poo on everything. This bloke called it the poop-tastrophe, the poop-pocalypse, the poop, what is that word? Poopening? Oh, there is poo
so
over his whole house.
It sucked up the poo, but then just spread it.
Spread it everywhere.
Ah!
Oh, no.
What do you reckon about that? The bloke said, and then his kid came into bed. You know, he had a 3-year-old, came into bed walking across the floor. I couldn't work out why the kid smelled of dog poo. That's when he went out and discovered the poo being smeared all over his house by a vacuum cleaner. What?
Oh,
is that not the
glorious.
Most horrific thing? Nobody will buy one after that, and that's my biggest worry. Now, I kept looking because occasionally we've got that puppy, now 4-month-old. It'll occasionally let a sly one go in the corner and you won't find it for a day or two.
Oh, no.
This is a nightmare. Well, we've had to suspend. When we saw this story, we no longer use the automatic vacuum cleaner.
It's a gadget. That's a tax. A gadget's a tax. That's what
I
happens.
I do a tack. Hair straighteners. I know, you know, you guys probably.
They can burn people's hair.
Yeah, they do burn people's hair. I am a living, breathing example. And also those curly ones where there's these new gadgets that you can buy where it sucks your hair into
what,
it
hair
and heats
straighteners.
It. And, yeah, it makes them curly. But
oh,
if
God.
You get it caught, it then fries it.
That's happened to me with one of those, you know, those for heaters that they're just like they just blow hot air straight out the front. That's all they do. They sort of sit on the ground. And I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll dry a shirt on that.
Oh.
And I just put it on the top.
What does that do?
Went to pick it up and the shirt had melted onto my finger. And it was terrible. It was my best fake Lacoste from Bali too.
I was going to say, there'd have to be a lot
disaster.
Of plastic in that sucker.
It's
a real disaster.
Oh, man.
It's a disaster. These gadgets attack, mate.
They
this
do
is
attack.
What, this is what happens. I had a friend of mine had a Nutribullet injury. This happens.
A Nutribullet injury.
Remember that bloke we talked to had one of those bar mixers and he went to lick it. And to lick his stuff off. And an idiot turned it on. Just had a 40 stitches. That Michael Blucher, that mate of ours.
Yes.
Bar mix. He turned it on while
Why
he was licking
lick
the stuff
off. Bar mix?
Off.
You're absolute moron.
I don't know.
Moron.
That's what happens when people get the gadgets. They look so easy, but then they attack you.
Mm. Okay, you want to get some calls?
Let's do
this
it.
Could be good.
Paul from Raceview. What?
There you go,
buddy. Oh, we're very good, mate. Which gadget attacked you?
Mate, the steam press on a destroyer in the Navy. You use it to iron your clothes, obviously. A superheated steam off the ship's boilers. And, normally you press 2 buttons for it to come down, but it malfunctioned, just came down while I was... on my shirt and came down my hand and just crispy creamed it right down to the bone.
Super heated off the ship's boilers. That's worse than, what was the old prison show? Prisoner. When B. Smith used to pull it down on people to bless.
So, anyway. So how, is your hand scarred?
Oh, yeah. It's scarred right down to the bone now. Like I've lost a lot of feeling in the back of it, but it's sort of come back. It's a bit numb, but that was 20 years ago, but yeah, when I lifted up, someone heard me screaming and came and released the buttons, and there was the outline of my hand on the top. It was all just turning black.
Jesus.
It smelled like burnt pork.
Burnt pork.
Oh, that's good. That's everyone nice. Knows now. That's yeah. what her hands smell like when they burn.
Awesome, you, Paul.
Well, just the crackling?
Don't think I needed to know that, but that's awesome.
Okay,
thank you.
So watch out for industrial presses if you happen to be one. I used to work in a dry cleaners out the back, Robin, and we had a...
We've got to talk about this one day.
Yeah, we had a number of incredible gadgets that we had to work, and one of mine was to steam the shirts and the suits. You know, they put it on this machine and you push this button and you steam it. And it got so bad that I had to quit because every single place I went, people would come up to me and they go, have you just had your clothes dry cleaned? Oh, I stank like a dry cleaner.
Dry clean guy.
Yeah, dry cleaning guy.
Can we write that down? We need to get back to that job.
They weren't digging it. Okay.
No, chicks weren't digging dry cleaning guys.
I would have thought they would because they love getting stuff dry cleaned.
And that beautiful, like, clean smell. It smells so much better than the other alternative.
Where were you, Robin? Where were you?
Where was I?
Could you get some stuff done for friends for free? Like, they go, can you take my dressing?
Yeah, but in those days, all I had, I was young, all I had was like, will you do the Origin jersey? Will you do it again?
You burn the Amy label off. Chucky from Buchan.
How you going, guys?
How'd you go in the flood, mate? Are you all right?
Yeah, my daughter was underwater, actually.
Oh.
Two foot underwater.
Oh mate, did they get everything out?
No.
Oh, no.
And that's what you've been doing the last few weeks. But we're talking gadgets, mate. Is one attacked?
Yeah, I was a mate of mine. There was a group of couples away for a weekend, and the girls had used the FL80 to trim themselves up for the bikini line.
Oh, this is not
And one of the blokes thought, yeah, I'll have a go at this. But apparently they're used for short hair, not long hair.
Yeah, that's
And he got tangled up in the bushy curly ones. And, yeah, many tears and scissors and, yeah.
Okay, no, hang on, because I've never, he's right, it is only for short hair, and most women would never have experienced what happens with long hair. So did it just stop working and then was tangled, and the only way you could get it off was to cut it off?
Yeah, it got jammed up, yeah.
Oh, but who got to use the scissors? Were you involved with that?
No, it wasn't me, mate, no, another stupid mate.
Yeah, who's holding that stuff down while they cut it?
That is
Yeah, I don't know.
His wife smacking him over the head, going, you bloody idiot, you've broken my epilady.
Yes, thank you, Chucky, so we won't use an epilady. Excellent work.
Not on your long ones, no.
Andy of Wishart, tell us when gadgets attack.
Yeah, my wife was trying to teach my son how to make pancakes, and my son was playing with the stick blender,
and
he put his finger on the blade and pulled the trigger, thinking that he could hold the blade.
No.
And then the next minute, he came running through the lounge room with his finger squirting blood everywhere.
How many stitches?
Oh, he didn't get any stitches, but he got a heap of super glue.
Oh, well done, Dad. Wow, that's our other great phoner, home medicine.
Yeah. Yes. Home medicine. There, what have we learned? So industrial presses, epilady on the male downstairs.
Do your pubes professionally, I think.
Get your pubes done professionally and don't stick your finger in one of those.
A blender.
A blender. These are good messages.
Don't stick your pubes in a blender either.
You said it, brother. You said it. Milo, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
After a massive cleanup and lots of community help, it is great to know that Yatla Pies are baking again, and we have Susan Porter from Yatla Pies with us. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Big, big, big weekend and last week. The community really stepped up for you guys, didn't they?
It's been an amazing job, and it's just gone so smoothly with everybody's help. We're so appreciative.
How many people? There was some footage and some stories going around on social media over the weekend, Susan, of just how many people from the local area have just shown up and started to help you out. How many people do you think just came to help?
I think we would have had about 100 people in there helping out. There was the local businesses that after the Friday night flood, we'd started cleaning inside to get the mud off, and there was a company, the VAC group, when I came in Saturday morning, that had cleaned half my car park.
Oh, my God. That must have happened. Did they do all the businesses up and down there?
Well, we were first off the rank. They could only get to us first. they've had a busy week.
Hey, Susan, the thing I learned over the weekend about Yatala pies is how much you still hand make your pies.
Yeah, still handmade. That's the heart of the pie.
Listen, how many pies do you sell a day?
Look, we sell about 3,000 on days like Anzac Day. And Australia Day, it can be over 5,000 pies a day.
Whoa. I'm just looking at the menu here, Susan, from Yatala Pies. I'm looking at the tradie. Steak, bacon, cheese, tomato and egg. How popular is that?
That is very popular. That's to keep our tradies going all day.
Oh, Lord. What's the most popular drink to go with that? What would you recommend?
The most popular drink with the tradie is usually a coffee and a Powerade, to tell you the truth.
What a life.
But you got to love the Queensland sense of humour, and particularly with you guys, Susan, because name your newest pie. Isn't it a tip to Cyclone Debbie?
It is the Cyclone Debbie.
What?
Very tropical. It's got the pineapple in it with the ring on top so we can see the eye of Debbie.
Oh, you're great.
So you're back open. So if everyone wants to know, Yatala Pies is back open for business this morning.
Yes, we are, and we're very excited.
Get in there, tradies.
If you see a red-haired lady with three boys sort of towing in behind them. Robin, your sons have made a request, haven't they?
Yes, we saw the story last night on Nine News, and my youngest guy, because it's school holidays, he said, Mum, when you get home, can we go down and buy a Yatala pie?
Fantastic. Well,
ambitious young fella.
Thank you, Susan, from Yatala Pies. Great to hear that you're back open. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
Tell us. Everyone loves Tell Us.
Doing his Legends and Lemons from the round six of the NRL, Gordon Tallis joins us. Gordy, I'm going to do your lemon for you. It is the injury to Jonathan Thurston. What can you tell us? How bad is it? How likely is he going to be out?
Well, it was a calf. Well, that's what we heard all day yesterday. It was a calf. They're old man injuries. They're hard to get over. We saw Lachlan Coote, that's probably 6 years younger than him, do it. They said he was going to be 2 weeks. He come back and redid it. So they're thinking Thurston's might be 4 to 6, his calf. So that might be just in time for him to come back for Origin. But they're one of those touchy things, Marto. And I think that once you start, you know, doing all those minor little tears, they're sort of hard mentally to get over as well.
Gordy, are you putting this down to Cyclone Debbie because of the extra moisture in the ground up there? That's when you do a calf and a hammy, when the ground's a bit heavier.
Well, do you know what, Marto? I did one when I was 27 and was over in England on the soggy ground. So that's a really good theory. And you know what? I'm going to run with that.
Oh, good. There you go. Good. So whenever we hear you talking about it from now on, it'll be all thanks to Marto.
It's a storm damaged calf. That's what we've got to say.
That's it. NRMA need to have some
protection. Hey, Gordy, so let's just say Thurston doesn't make... We're hoping that he does, but let's say something happens and he doesn't make it for Origin. Who would you have in the number six jersey for Queensland?
Right. You'd have to go Michael Morgan because he's been sitting there and he's played number 14 and he's been in the side the last couple of years, so he would know all the systems. Cooper Cronk still plays seven, so you'd go Michael Morgan. And then there's a chance of Milford. There was talk of him. He could probably come on and be the number 14 and play that utility role. So... look, there are options there, but let's just keep our fingers crossed for Jonathan. This is going to be his last Origin series, so I know that he'll do everything in his powers to get back out on the field.
Who is your legend of the weekend?
Do you know what? It's actually the St. George Dragons. I watched them play the Charity Shield, and everybody tipped them to be the wooden spoon. And last year, and Mary McGregor, Paul, to change their whole way that they attack and to be leading the comp, six rounds. I think that it's a pretty fair effort for the Dragons, where everybody thought that they were going to have a terrible year and not win too many games. So the Red V's back to where it should be.
There were some weird results, though, weren't there, over the weekend?
Oh, expert tipper here.
Well, no, I only got 4 out of 4, and that's the lowest I've done. That's the only reason why I'm going on that.
Well, no, it's not 4 out of 4. It's 4 out of 8.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm the same. You know what, I thought, at Brookvale, I went for Manly because, St. George haven't won there in the last 8 years. It's a place, hard place to win. Cronulla haven't won down in Melbourne. There was, and in the last 6 games, I think they've lost by an average of 20 points. And then that was 2-2 at halftime, and they got 2 disallowed tries as well. So the comp's pretty even at the moment, and you've got to be playing good every week. And if you've got a few troops down, well, it's certainly hard to win. So the salary cap's doing its job.
Why didn't any expert tipster tip the Tigers because a new coach always produces a victory, no matter who they play.
Yeah, look, it's sort of one of those. We got some stats at the out of the Fox Sports lab, and
the lab. Gordy, yeah, Gordy, it's not really a lab. It's just a couple of young blokes doing some stats.
Yeah, some young fella running it into.
Yeah, listen, they call it a lab, and I don't want to say what we call it at Triple M because we got a lab too. But you know, it's what are you
up for that? No, no. I can just imagine what's in your lab.
I think it's about 25% that win sides get like new, because don't forget they had a new coach by the name of Andrew Webster against the Melbourne.
No, I didn't count that. Not interim coaches.
Yeah, so the Tigers have had three coaches this year and they've lost all of them, but they won with Ivan Cleary. The Cowboys were poor, but it's good to see the Tigers get a result, maybe get a bit of that off-field drama in Sydney. That's, mate, they dominate the news down here, so let's get them off the front and back page for the week and let them concentrate on footy.
Good on you, Gordy. We will see you on Fox Sports, mate. We'll hear you on the AMs later on. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, guys, here's a quick quiz for you. What is the second most searched term on the internet? After, of course, the most obvious, which is pornography, sadly. What is second most searched?
Sport?
No.
Come on. Grumpy cat.
That should at least be in the top five. No, it's what you've just had delivered.
What?
Greg Martin, food.
Oh, God, I was hungry.
What, just people just put food into Google?
Yep, and they want to find things. And there's this whole science behind it, okay? A guy by the name of Professor Charles Spence says that big product companies come to him to know how to make their products look, smell, taste, and even sound more appealing. So there is this massive science behind how we see food advertised. I find this fascinating. And every time you watch an ad from now on, remember this. Okay, he says TV ads featuring food in motion, such as a slice of cheesy lasagna being lifted from the pan.
Oh, yeah.
Or chocolate oozing out of a pudding. Mm.
Yep.
That makes it much more appealing.
All right. Now, Robin, welcome to one of my areas.
Yeah.
Okay. Here was I thinking I was bringing the glory of food to the table. But no, Ed Cavalier, go ahead.
You are, because I've done some food ads, some advertising for food products over the years. I'm sure it'll shock you to know that I've done an ad, but I have.
And you didn't jump in that one either?
Get on YouTube. His KFC ad when him and the mate went in. Oh,
look, me and a friend were living in a caravan together in a questionable relationship, and we had a penchant for burgers.
Mm. Yeah.
I can tell you the last thing that happens in a burger or fast food commercial, the last thing that happens, you're sitting there, you've got the burger in your hand, you're looking at the bloke you live in the caravan with, you've got your Lego haircut just pushed down to the side, and the very last thing that happens, Robin, before they say, and action, is that someone runs, they go, and set, okay, come in, and someone runs in with what they call a mayonnaise gun.
Oh, dear.
And just puts a fresh line of mayonnaise across the burger before they hit action.
And do you eat it?
Some people do. I was sacked from the ad because I was found. Tony Martin said on air that I wasn't eating the burger and I wasn't. Mm. But you're meant to take a bite because they have a spit bucket next to you.
Oh, so you don't digest it?
No, because
you might do 30 of them.
Yeah, you might end up eating 13 works burgers.
So how did you get from that to doing the Nando's? You started doing Nando's. Like, how do you graduate? You are the chicken king when I think about it.
No, look, I appreciate that. But let's not forget that I did a Red Rooster ad for lamb.
Red
Rooster.
That snuck it in before he went to Nando's. He's bounced around like Larry Ablett.
What did you do? I didn't know any of this.
My very good friends at Red Rooster and I had a lovely time. And now my very good friends at Nando's and I have a wonderful... It's just a fine restaurant. But I think you'll find that the three major searches on Google are in this order. It's pornography, food, and then mayonnaise gun, which is a mixture of the two.
Let me get this right. We're going to find out why you don't like a horse that's a champion and how Nick Kyrgios killed your dad.
Which one do we talk about first, Winks or...
I'm desperate to know about your dad.
All right, my dad... Dad was watching the news one night at my sister's place. Mum was away, so he went to her place. And it was 10 to 7. He loved the news, Dad. And the sport was on, and Kyrgios was being a wanker before Wimbledon last year.
Right.
Okay. And Dad's last words were, "I wouldn't give that dickhead a feed," and he died.
What a heart attack.
I told the story at the funeral. It's so true. It's true as I sit here.
He died of a heart attack.
Massive. His heart just exploded.
Oh, wow.
Curious upset him.
Oh, my God.
He was. He obviously was going to die at some stage, Dad, but Curious was the cream.
I have a similar story. My father
about
died. Curious? No, not Curious. It was about the Australian cricket team.
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad died. He got up in the middle of the night to watch to check on the Ashes.
And there was some disappointment.
And when he was English and the Australians were beating the English and he got so frustrated, what he used to do was rub his hands together when he was frustrated. That triggered the heart attack, dropped dead.
Wow.
Oh, God.
133353. What Australian sports person killed your father?
Stop it. You can't write it.
All right, let's get back to
wow.
What do you got, Ed?
Sorry, Ed.
What have you got, sir?
Back live.
I get pretty involved with the Socceroos. next time they play Tajikistan, I might
just tape it easy.
Tape it and watch it back. Oh, that's outrageous. Okay. Well, yeah, look, Kyrgios, Marto, and Robin, I'm sorry, but we have to. Mm. I've been saying, you know, I think tennis is dying. Roger Federer is the best player, and I love Roger Federer, but yes, he's 36 years old. Novak Djokovic has fallen off a cliff. Something's happened to Murray. They haven't had a new champion in 10 years. And the only person who's making tennis even vaguely interesting is Nick Kyrgios.
I know.
We just have to accept. We might not like him, but without him, tennis is gone. Absolutely gone.
Oh, you can't survive on people over 40 years, or 50 is the only people who like tennis.
But
I understand that.
But no one overseas knows who Nick Kyrgios is.
Yeah, they do.
They
do, yes.
Because he's controversial and he makes noise and they go, that wanker Australian.
Like, every
that's,
time.
That's how we're getting a demonstration of Australia is Kyrgios.
So with Leighton's, come on! That wasn't enough.
You remember, hold on, let me tell you about Leighton Hewitt. He's much loved now, correct? Is Leighton Hewitt much loved?
Yeah, he's kind of.
He was a dick as well. Until he was about 26, we all disliked, most Australians disliked it.
Yeah. It's tennis. Tennis is not, if you want nice, humble young men and women who are just going to smile sweetly, that's not tennis. Tennis is the most individual, cutthroat sport that there is.
It's like UFC. Tennis is a bigger waste of time than golf, Ed. Like, in terms of it's just used to sell corporate stuff. That's all tennis is for.
Well, I was watching some of the Masters, and I can't believe how much the people, they're just billboards. The golfers, and it's like, who's your favourite sports person, Robin? Mine's Phil Mickelson, because I really identify with the guy with the KPMG cap on. It's just, you know, that's just an accountancy firm I can believe in. Do you know what I mean? Some of the, I was on YouTube watching highlights of their forensic auditing. Oh, man, it was just...
That's golf and tennis. Weird sports,
I like the Williams sisters and I like their outfits. That kind of makes it slightly interesting.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Seriously, I know a number of women that when Venus Williams, whichever Williams, Serena Tall Williams, did the new bra ads, a lot of chicks that I know actually wanted to check whether they worked on the court. That kept people entertained for a fair while.
Yeah, you're right. Those bra ads. The bra ads are always good.
Yeah, that's true.
Bra ads are better than golf.
Horse. Winks.
Oh, Winks. There's another disappointment in the weekend. You know, I left here on Friday, went straight to the airport. I haven't been back since then. Got to the airport. There were so many young blokes on the plane. They had jackets, they had shorts or whatever they were wearing, but they had Winx caps on. I reckon there was 12 young blokes. This is Friday morning going down. That was their big weekend to go and watch Winx. So I go and see my daughter, who's living in Sydney now, Friday night after I finished work. And then Saturday, I was going to spend the day with her before flying to Perth for work. She said, Dad, we'll just have to do brunch on Saturday morning. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm going to the races. She's never been to the races before in her life. She got caught up in the same thing with all her young mates around Sydney. All went and watched a horse that was paying $1.04. They all realised they weren't going to have a bet. They were going out to look at a horse run.
Oh, no, they were just jumping on a trend.
That's amazing.
So they could say, I was there the last time Winx won. That's all.
But also, they couldn't beat Winx out of a lineup. It's like when Maccabi Diva was going off. It's like,
what colour was Maccabi Diva?
I couldn't tell you.
What colour was Black Caviar? Well, it was probably black. Wasn't it? Was Black Caviar black?
It was dark, yes.
If Winx came in here right now,
it'd be very busy.
You'd have to duck through the door.
And bit you. I would be like, well, is that you, Empire Rose? Get off him. Get off him.
Could be Kingston Town. But you remember when they were...
Kingston Town.
Remember Bring Your Dog to Work Day? The size of that poo, that dog. Did you imagine if Winx came in here? Oh,
I can't get it. I cannot understand how you can support a horse. The horse doesn't know you. It doesn't care about you, Robin.
Yeah, but if it wins you lots of money, I'm all good.
But it doesn't.
Okay, that one didn't. But, you know.
You can't even bet on it. Yeah.
Weird.
Did we get any callers there for which Australian sportsman's killed you?
We didn't, surprisingly.
No, just you and I, mate. Let's talk about Easter travel, because I have all my family arriving today. My sister and my nephews come today.
Oh, my God, it's a short week.
Yeah, it's a short week. They're here for Easter. My mum comes tomorrow. So lots of airline travel. I was in Sydney very briefly for the weekend. 15 unaccompanied minors. Yeah, well, on my flight because the Southern State school holidays kicked in, but it's the cost of it. Because I was talking to my guy Sean, who lives in Sydney, and he's wanting to come up for some of the time over Easter, and he was looking at flights, and he said, "Oh my God, I think I'm going to have to break my Tiger ban." Mm? Because they're the only ones that are cheap enough to fly.
Oh, dear. Oh,
He's not a big fan of Tiger.
No,
He was looking at flights and it was going to cost him $800 return.
That's what it is, Robin.
To come come up on Good Friday and go home. Now he's going to go on Tuesday because it's cheaper.
I booked one because we got to go down. We're all going. Harry, my son, my wife, Kath and I. We're going down on Friday to see my daughter in Sydney, coming home Monday. Now, booked Kath, because we were always going about 5 or 6 weeks ago. That was only $240 return or $250 return, okay?
Yeah.
But had to book Harry. Harry said he finally went, "Oh, can I come?" $480
$480 is still good.
I thought, well, now you're saying that.
It's
I didn't
not
think
now.
It was.
So it's not now. It's awful if you're a really
late weekend
in
Sydney's going to cost our family about $1,200. We went, well, we've got to go and see Hillary. Yes, we'll do it. I hate
spending
money.
Where are you going to stay?
Airbnb place. Why? Why?
It's fun.
Why is that funny?
Good. No, 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 but I'm saying
we can't stay at Hillary's unit. There's five other people live there.
Yeah, isn't there a couch? Anyway. Yeah. I'm interested to know how much it's costing people to actually cruise around over Easter. Because, you know, we know the petrol prices will go up because that's just a given. And if you're planning on going out west or, you know, up north, it's going to cost you more.
Okay.
Not camping.
No, camping is...
You have to get there, Mardo.
Oh, yeah. Well,
don't they jack up the prices of the camping stations as
yes.
well?
Yes, I don't know.
They do. Easter is pretty expensive.
What? You can't do that, can you?
Oh, well, you can if you...
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hold on. Sunny all weekend, eh?
Okay.
Let's talk costs. Alicia is from Wellington Point. Hi, Alicia. You got a big family. Is it a camping trip you're doing? How much is it costing you?
Okay, so there's myself, my hubby, two kids, 6 and 3. We're going camping down to Glen Innes, so it's going to be about a 4 to 5 hour drive each way.
Oh, God.
A bit of petrol. The camping itself, they haven't jacked that up where we're going. But we've also got my husband's parents and my parents.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
So 6 adults and 2 kids. Oh, and 2 dogs. So I think it's going to cost me more my sanity than finding the lake. It's going to be interesting. So 4 cars.
Alicia, I got to ask you, is it worth it? Seriously,
is it worth it?
Well, I don't know. It's our first time. So, you know, it may not be another time. So, it's only 5 days. So I'm sure, you know, I can lose myself in the bush somewhere.
That's interesting. only 5 days. I think...
Know.
If you're going to go camping, the amount of time you've already put into getting ready, and you will this week, and all the preparation, and then the setup when you get there, and then the pull down, I don't reckon 5 days is long enough to get the value out of camping.
Yeah, well, hubby's heading down a day early to set up for us.
Right.
Oh, good.
He'll have a little private first night fever, and then he'll be right.
And then I've got to do the drive with the 2 kids and a dog, so...
Oh, you lost the end of that one. But Alicia, who do you think will not get on, or will everyone work it out? Because with your in-laws and your parents, that's a recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. We're not talking Alicia into it here. No. Thank you, Alicia. Best of luck.
No, well, she's saving money, I reckon.
Okay.
Yeah, but as she said, at what cost?
Brett is from Ipswich. Hey, Brett, talk to us about the cost of Easter travel, mate.
Oh, yes. G'day, guys. I got out of it pretty cheap, I think, compared to you, Marto. I'm leaving Friday to go see my mother in Newcastle and coming back Monday. And, it only cost me $122.
What? What are you on? Are you on Jetstar or something?
Yeah, Jetstar, yeah.
Jeez, that's Newcastle's so cheap to go to.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Reason for that.
So, therefore, is it cheaper to fly into Newcastle and hire a car if you're going to Sydney?
Almost.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's
yeah,
not tell anyone.
I used to do the Greyhound trip all the time. I used to go
the bus.
The Roma Street. Yeah, mate. I used to go Brisbane to Sydney on the Greyhound.
Did
I
you?
I must have done that. I cannot tell you.
Really?
Yeah, so much so that I can still, if I go past the, you know, the transit centre, which is one of my favourite buildings in Brisbane, is it sometimes if I go through there, the food court or whatever, I can still smell the inside of the coaches, and it takes me back there.
In a good way?
No, it wasn't a happy place. See,
whenever anyone whinges about Jetstar or Tiger, remember there was a thing called Greyhound.
There was a Greyhound. Well, there still is. Darren on Facebook says, return flights to Sydney, two adults, two kids aged 13 and 11. So the 11-year-old is, or the 13-year-old is considered an adult. $1,358.
That's not worth it. That is not
it's very expensive.
Fly to Newcastle, rent a car.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't even thought about that.
Mm. Get one of those long bikes, make a weekend of it.
You said
like,
it, man.
Like the goodies. Like the goodies, yeah.
Hey, listen, I just picked up this paper and I said it and then you said the same thing, so we may as well talk about it. Too much hanging around. There's a story here. I'm not going to mention the bloke's name, but parents, they're saying a slothful child pandemic is gripping the nation, made worse by children of divorce splitting their time between parents. Apparently, kids aren't doing enough chores around the house because if they've got to go between one parent and one parent, every parent wants to be the fun parent and just give them fun and games.
Oh,
and
right.
I don't want to be the fun parent. I want to be, I've got three children, they need to help me parent.
Now, all right, let's talk about that. I hate people who you go around and they got a fridge with all the chores on the thing. Like, I just... Some people are just too well organised and have perfect children, or do they? I can't
say. I don't.
But Robin, you told me before Marta got here this morning that you spent yesterday doing what with your three lads?
Yeah, I did. So I just said to them, because all my family are arriving today, and I just said, guys, there's a whole lot of stuff needs to happen in the house. And my theory is that I'm not willing to do it all. I'm just not. And they can help, and they're old enough to. And, man, I've spent my life in the car taking them to football games. They can give some back.
But, how did you go?
Okay, so we from 10 o'clock until about 3:30. They did everything with me. They have their normal stuff that they have to do in the morning on a Saturday morning, which is clean their room. Then they take it in turns between who does the deck, who picks up the dog poo,
What did they do special?
They made all the beds. Wow. So they vacuumed.
Did they change their beds? And
yeah, they did. They changed their own sheets. They sorted out the washing because we have this table
Rob.
Well, mate, I mean, it's a very special occasion. Then we all went and did a grocery shop because I said to them, I'm sick of you guys complaining there's no food.
Why didn't you participate?
That's right. And then I made a lecture last night and I said, right, I have just spent all this money on food. Do not go for 2-minute noodles. You will make the bacon and egg rolls.
Yes, you will.
How do you go clean it up after they make their little snackaroonies?
Oh, now, see, here's the thing, right? And this was the other lecture. I'm so shocking, but you're hearing all my inner secrets. Right. The other lecture last night was I said, you guys did awesome with your jobs.
Oh, that's good.
The
feedback.
Only thing you need to just keep is take that broom that you swept the deck with and put the broom away. That's the last bit.
Okay.
That'll never happen. If you can,
yeah. Okay. No. So,
have you got things on your fridge like chores and little stars?
No. My kids are 17, 15, and 12. Well, you know what they do with a star if I gave it to
Every time I saw these child behaviour experts and they tell you to do anything, our family did none of them. And that's why Kath and I are still doing all the cleaning.
Okay, but Hilly's really self-sufficient.
Oh, she's all right, but boys, God.
Harry?
I don't know. Oh, don't even start. They just, I think I did this when I was a kid. You did such a bad job when you do it that they go, oh, never again. Listen, just don't even worry.
No, but I can't stand, and Ed, you're just about to become a dad, but I'm too tired. They have to help me. I can't do it on my own all the time.
That's fair. But how do you get them to do it? That's what I would like to know. How do people get there? How do you get your kids to participate in some chores? Is it bribery? Is it guilt? Is it
money?
Just I'm not going to do it for you? Do they get? Is it everyone has their? Is it a roster like Marto said? Like are those little wheels that you see?
Is
on
there
the
anyone still
fridges?
Hitting their kids?
Is there anyone still a bit more stick than carrot? I don't know. Jay from Chrismead, how do you get kids to do chores?
Mate, you take all their electrical devices off them, their phones, their Xboxes, their TVs. And, mate, when they've done their chores, they get them back. Trust me, they're dying to do their chores to get that stuff back.
What do they do, RJ? Because my kids don't do the job well enough. And eventually I go, oh, look.
Well, mate, it's like anything. When we were young kids, you know, when you got served up vegetables, you didn't eat them. Well, guess what? You sat there until you ate them or you went hungry. It's the same with their stuff. They don't do it right. They get to do it again. Eventually, they'll learn to do it properly the first time.
What, do you get them to do any sweeping or mopping?
Mate, they do everything. Vacuum and sweep, mop, do the floors, go outside, mow the lawns, pick up the dog, manure, everything.
How old are your kids and how many?
I have 17 and 14 going 15.
There you go, same age
good
as mine.
Good on you, AJ. Good effort.
They're becoming useful at that age.
The withdrawal method, so take away the devices.
When do you reckon you should do it? What age, guys?
What?
Should they help? Like, an eight-year-old, I wouldn't bother.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to do something, like unstack a dishwasher. Because if you can't, if you've got to get them into use, being used to the idea that that is being part of the family, or else you try and tell a 14-year-old who's never done anything.
No, yeah, fair. Good.
I had a friend of mine who got caught. His job when we were very young, was the early teenagers, was to help to load the dishwasher, but he had to rinse the dishes before the dishes went into the dishwasher.
Very important.
And he got caught. He got caught using the dog to lick the plates before they went into the dishwasher.
It's a great method. It is a great method.
Feed the dog too.
Yeah, feed the dog.
Don't dogs love that?
Yeah, it's disgusting. Naomi, Bechdel, what do you reckon? What are you doing?
I have three children. I have a 17-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old boy.
Oh, my God.
And I had trouble getting them to help me do the dishes. Mm-hmm. So what I did is, I set up one person had a dishes, like if the girls were doing it, the boy wouldn't help at all. So I said, okay, everyone has their own night to do the dishes. And if they don't do it on their night, they have to repeat their night.
Ooh, so punishment.
So I never, ever have to nag them to do the dishes.
Yeah,
if they don't do it, they have to do it another night. And then I think the children kind of tested it. And one of them did it 2 weeks in a row before they realised, oh my God, Mum's serious. That means I'm better off just doing it my night and doing it once than doing it 14 times. And so now it's like clockwork. I've never had to yell at them. I don't even have to nag them.
Does everyone remember the old days before dishwashers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good
washing,
Lord.
Washing, drying.
Trying to tell kids.
Putting away. Yeah, there was only two of us. It was not fun.
Thank you, Naomi. John is from Zilmi. All right, John, how do you get kids to do chores, buddy?
Mate, we give them rewards, actually. And it's been a really good incentive for over the last 3 years. I've got a 13-year-old and 11-year-old going on 12 this year. And one of them at the moment, he can't wait to volunteer to do jobs.
He's obviously got something he's got his eye on.
Yeah, well, the Xbox, mainly. What we do is he'll say, look, I really want this game. We'll go, well, look, you can have the game, but if you want the game, you've got to sort of earn it. So he'll fold towels, fold clothes, hang up towels, hang ours up, put them in the wardrobe. The other one, 13, he's actually wanted to get a job, his own private job, and we run a cleaning business. So we said, well, why don't you come and work for us two or 3 days a week? And we'll pay him a certain amount of money. I won't say over the air, but and he puts that away and he'll buy stuff or go out to the movies with his mates. So I've found that instead of taking things away, we give things to them if they actually... do the job and do it well.
That's more my theory of my kids,
man.
Too.
That's good, John. That's good. I like that. And it gives you
a chance. But it's more like the real world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mel of Thornlands, what do you reckon?
There's an app called Our Pact that you can download on your phone.
How do you spell that?
Our Pact.
Oh, Pact. Righto.
Yeah, Pact. And what you can do is remotely from your phone, go onto the kid's phone and disable their phone. So from a certain time, from 7 p.m. till 6 a.m, you can disable the phone. So we're only talking about this last night. I haven't actually used it, but a lot of my friends have actually downloaded the app. So you can get on there.
Because a lot of parents get the kids to throw all their phones in a bowl at night time so they do the homework. So you could use this Our Pact.
Yeah. So if they're not doing a chore, you've asked them to do a chore, you can go into your phone and disable whatever they're working on. It just shuts down their phone, apparently, and then you can get them to do the chore and then reactivate it after the chore's finished.
Not bad.
Do they know that you've done that? Do they realise that's what's happened?
You have to go on to their phone and set up some sort of code or something so it links together. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. I only downloaded the app last night and the kids' phones were all flat, thank goodness.
How long until kids work out a way of overcoming our pact?
Well, they weren't happy about doing it. One was, I've got twin 11-year-olds, and one was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. The other was like, no. And I've got a 16-year-old, so... Yeah, they're all a bit. Oh, I don't know about this.
But. You know what I'm hearing here. Everyone we've spoken to, it's all about phones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the life.
This is my idea.
Yeah. What do you got?
Like the interlocker. You know how you got to blow into the thing.
Yeah, the breathalyzer thing.
The breathalyzer for the car. What about this, Robin? An attachment for a phone that if you're on your phone, and it activates a vacuum cleaner that's attached to it. So they're allowed to keep using their phone, but as they're walking around Snapchatting their friends, they're also vacuuming. Something.
That would be genius.
He's done it. He's bloody done it.
That's it. I quit.
Okay.
I'm moving to Silicon Valley. I'll be Bill Woods. What's his name?
Bill Woods.
Tiger.
He's going to be a phenomenal Tiger sports commentator. No.
Bill Gates. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Marto and Robin, the new Triple M.
Are you surprised, because I get this from people a lot, that we don't talk rugby? I'm a rugby guy. Why don't you talk more rugby on your radio show? Have you ever thought about that?
I kind of have, but I figured that you, from what I've got from you since I've been on your show, is that you're a bit... Yeah, you're a bit
Reds.
Slightly peed off with them.
If the Reds were going better, I'd definitely talk more about them. Let's not even mention what happened on Saturday night. That was a disgrace. But
they lost again, yeah?
They were terrible too. Okay. They're looking old and slow. Because remember when they signed Stephen Moore, Wallaby skipper, George Smith, Wallaby legend? I went, this will be great.
You did. You were super excited about it.
Experience was good for one game. Now old legs don't seem to match it with all these young blokes. All right. But can we talk about Super Rugby? It is... The Australian Rugby Union over the last couple of years, well, it's not just them. It's the only competition in the world that goes across six nations, five different time zones. They just became too big for, I don't know whether it's their boots, and no one could understand. I couldn't understand. Where are the Cheetahs from? No one cares. Where are the Blues from? Who are the Chiefs? Yeah. They thought everyone understood all this stuff, and they just made all these assumptions, and the game is on the nose.
Okay, so no one's interested in watching and buying tickets.
I think the television audiences have halved in the last 2 years since they made the competition too bloody big. You understand these numbers.
I do know that. Look, and this happens, Marto, and that's fair enough. Look, the A-League went through this. They expanded too far, then they bring it back. And you do have to, you know, these things require tinkering, Robin. You're not going to get it right unless you try.
Well, they made a big decision yesterday afternoon at 6 o'clock.
So
straight
happened?
After, I went over there to Perth to do the Force game. Been going there for 11 years. Best game they've ever played, and their head was on the chopping block. They're going to reduce the number of teams from 18 to 15, go back to where it was when it was almost perfect 2 years ago. But they said, right, if we're going to do this, one of the teams to go has to be an Australian team. And there is terrible squabbling going on. It won't be Queensland. It won't be New South Wales because they're the two big powerhouses of that's where all the players come from. Canberra, it won't be Canberra, the Brumbies, because they're the best Australian team at the moment and has ever been. They've won two championships. So it's the two new teams. The Force came in 11 years ago. The Rebels came in 6 years ago. The Force are from Perth. That's right. They should call themselves the Perth Snatchers or, you know, have Perth in their name so everyone knows where they're from. So I felt so sorry yesterday. I've been going over there feeling sorry for them forever. Big Nathan Sharp, he was their first captain, you know, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. If these blokes relocate, because there was never any Western Australian kid in their team originally, okay? So they all came from the East Coast. If they had families, they took them all over there, put their life on hold everywhere else. It's such an isolated place, Perth. I really like the Perth rugby fans. They're tough. If you're supporting rugby over there and amongst all the AFL, you are a fair dinkum rugby fan. Take the mob that went to Melbourne. That's just a nightclub owner who said, oh, I feel like buying a rugby team. They're transplanted, not genuine. The captain of Perth yesterday has been there since day one, all right? Matt Hodgson, his name is. He cried in the press conference because straight after the game they made the announcement, right, we're going to cut one team, and he knew his team's in the
And is it firing Perth?
They're still going to make a decision between the nightclub owners, Melbourne, and the Perth team, which is genuine
and
rugby.
And who are the other two that are going?
They're from two South African teams. Oh, they're hopeless. Who cares? that's important. They're hanging on to the Japanese team and the Argentinian team. The whole thing's still too bloody big. We should just be Australia and New Zealand. the genuine hatred.
Okay, well, let's see. Perth or Melbourne, one of those two teams is going to go, and we shall see which.
And I'm in a lot of trouble. If next time I go and call a game in Melbourne, there's going to be real strife.
Well, no, you're not, because barely anyone goes for them.
Actually, that's true.
That's the thing.
Yeah, like, they get 8,000 people to their games.
It just hasn't. Look, Melbourne is a wonderful, wonderful sporting town. We know that. But it just doesn't.
They don't deserve rugby team.
Doesn't seem to have taken off, even like the Storm has. And the Storm's only taken off.
The Storm
because
only
of the,
get 11,000 people to their games. But I know, 10,000.
And because they're so successful as well. Mm. On the back of the Queensland players and Craig Bellamy, that's how the Storm has stayed relevant.
You need a Molly Meldrum. He helped the Storm.
A number one fan.
The bloody Storm. He had nothing to do with the Storm.
Well, he jumped on after the fence. Was he there the first time
they won in 99? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Or was he?
Yes.
Was he early banned?
And the fact that everyone knows that Molly Meldrum is a diehard St Kilda fan and that he then put on his hat and said, hey, I'm going for the Storm, that helped.
The Melbourne Rebels brought to you by Dr. Jeff Edelston.
Yes. Oh, my God. Pink helicopter out the front.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Kappa.
With the floodwaters finally receding all over our fair state and in northern New South Wales, people are starting to clean up. We're getting lots of images of people sweeping mud out of their homes. But, guys, I wanted to introduce you to a really good friend of mine. Her name is Mel, and in the 2011 floods, her house went completely under. She knows what it's like to have to then kind of look at all your stuff and work out what to do with it. Hey, Mel.
Hey, how you going?
Tell these guys exactly what happened, because I remember I was over at your house helping you with your bedroom and then the mud army arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I guess it's important to say that I was insured, and I can't imagine how hard this is for people who aren't insured. But my experience was, although there were such great intentions, it was just done so fast, and within 24 hours, everything I owned was out the front of my house in this massive pile. And I remember looking down at this beautiful porcelain money box of my daughter's, and I picked it up and I inspected it, and there was not one scratch or one ding or chip on it, and I just had this sinking feeling in my stomach. What else in this pile is in this good of condition that's now going to get chucked on the back of a truck?
My God, I've never heard anyone else talk about this, Mel. Same thing happened with my mate. We were looking after him. There was about eight of us there, all tradesmen. Cleaned his house out. The mud army tried to come in and just started grabbing things. And we said, no, hold on. We're professionals with things with triggers, and we'll sort this out. There's too much stuff gets thrown out.
Absolutely. And although it's stuff, and of course it doesn't compare to a human, a human life, but at the end of the day, that's someone's history, that's someone's memory, that's a story attached to that photo album or whatever. For me, if I had my time again, I agree, Mo, I would only have people I know, and I would have a coordinator, because you're in shock. Like, you're not in a position to make any decisions. I'd have someone like Robbie in there and go, right, that's an appliance, that's a definite chuck out, that's a maybe, and that's a keep, because the things that I'm really grateful for were the people that made those decisions for me, that went, you know what, we're taking her kitchen stuff, we can clean this.
But Mel, remember also the other thing, and I was in your bedroom with you, and the whole concept that you didn't want your life to start after 2011.
Yeah, and effectively it kind of did. I mean, as I say, if you take away that just the material stuff, it's your life, it's your private life, and certainly in bedrooms, you know, there's stuff that sometimes you don't want people.
That's why your father-in-law wasn't allowed in there, love.
Like, how did those handcuffs get there? I don't know.
Wow.
I'm really joking.
They must have washed down from a local police station. Can I tell everyone, if they're having a renovation done to their house, make sure you clean your bedroom out, because there's stuff you leave in the bedside drawers and, you don't want 30-year-old carpenters finding that stuff.
Exactly, especially when your bedside drawers landed in the lounge room, one of the bedside tables. Oh. That floated all the way into the lounge room, so I didn't have time to get onto that one. Yeah.
That's a topic for another day. hey, Mel, thanks so much for telling us your story. It is very interesting as we see the continued cleanup after the floods. Thanks for being with us today, Mel.
Very welcome. Take care, guys.